In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We have a feria today, the time after Epiphany, but also it is the commemoration of Saint Prisca, virgin and martyr. And I'm actually not sure how to describe the life of this saint because there's two different legends, like two different accounts, completely different. So we'll reconcile that. Eventually, I have a it's going to be some apologetics on the legends. But let's see. First, also today, there's Margaret of Hungary. She's also a saint for today. Not to be confused with Elizabeth of Hungary or Margaret of Scotland. This is Margaret of Hungary. Now, she actually was, she is, her aunt was Elizabeth of Hungary, and Margaret, her father was St. Elizabeth's brother. So, a little family dynasty here. She was, at 3 years old, her father, the Hungary was under attack from the Mongols. That's just why it's called Huns, right, the Hungary. So it was about to be overrun, and he and his wife vowed to dedicate Margaret to God if the Mongols were repelled and they were not successful, which indeed was the case. Hungary remained unconquered, and so the king gave Margaret, then 3 years old, to a Dominican convent where she was raised, and she ended up staying there the rest of her life. Apparently, when Margaret was 18, she was very devoted, very humble, just a model of a religious. Her father was somewhat, going back on his promise. He tried to arrange a marriage for her with the king of, I think it was Bohemia. She was absolutely horrified. She lived from the time she was 3 years old. She was a Dominican nun. So the convent included her. They had consecrated virgins, and they included her in that ceremony so that it was like you can't get, you can't pull her out. So she would do so much austerities, such a difficult penances, that she shortened her lifespan. I think she lived, she was maybe 30 years old when she died. But at her death, soon after her death, there's like something like over 70 miracles were reported through her intercession. And so they wanted to have her canonized. This was in the year like 1260, 1270, something like that. It wasn't a successful attempt, even though people were venerating her as a saint. There were all these miracles. Wasn't canonized there right after her death. It wasn't until 1600, I think, that it was attempted again, and that failed too. And then in 1770, and that didn't work either. And finally, in 1789, she was successfully declared a saint. So I don't know why it took so long or what the difficulties were, but it's not always, the path to sanctity isn't always easy, even in the case of edifying life and many miracles. So thus, Margaret of Hungary. Now, St. Prisca or Priscilla, as I mentioned, confusing information here. The one legend has her as a martyr in 275 under the Emperor Claudius, which is a problem because Claudius was not emperor in 275. He was emperor in 50 AD. And the legend says that she is, St. Prisca was a young girl, aged 13, from a noble family in Rome, and she was accused of being a Catholic, a Christian, and to the Emperor Claudius. He ordered her to make sacrifices to the gods, and she refused, was imprisoned, tortured, remained steadfast. She was then thrown to a lion in the amphitheater, but it quietly laid down at her feet. And this event would be the subject of later poets. They would write about the humanity of the lion and the savagery of the Romans. She was again imprisoned and tortured and thrown onto a burning pyre, but she herself was untouched by the flames. And finally, she was beheaded at the 10th milestone on the Via Ostia, a road leading out of Rome, and a church was there built in her honor, which lasted many, many centuries. So that's the first legend. The second legend of Prisca is that it is a short name of Priscilla, and this is the woman who was mentioned in Acts chapter 18, verse 2. Aquila was a Jewish tent maker, and he and his wife Prisca, or Priscilla, lived in Rome and were forced to leave when the emperor Claudius banished all Jews. They went to Corinth. There they met St. Paul, accompanied him to Ephesus, and assisted him in his work. And then they returned to Rome and opened their house as a church, and then returned to Ephesus, and then suffered martyrdom in Asia Minor. And that is according to the Roman martyrology. But another martyrology has them martyred in Rome, and their feast day is July 8th. So, which legend is correct? Right, this is confusing, and this isn't even all of it, right? Now, the answer given by many Catholic authors is that this is the result of the piety, the overzealous, over-exuberant piety of the past. They have these confusing accounts, so they'll just borrow events from other saints and slap them onto a name and then invent a veneration and have you know, a subject matter for the veneration that people have had for centuries. Who is this Prissa? We have no idea. Let's make up some details about it, and then we'll call her a saint. So these are you hear things like these are legends are entirely fabricated, or these are unreliable, or most likely we don't know anything except that there was a woman named Prissa and she was martyred probably around this date. That's the kind of answers you'll get. You'll see, and I don't buy that. Right? I don't think that's the right attitude to have. Is that the Catholic attitude is not one of disbelief, but of faith. That we believe, and if we have something from antiquity, if we have something from our fathers in the early church, we're not just to believe it's invented or that they're making this stuff up, but rather we're supposed to try to reconcile, right, from the facts that we're given. Okay, this is what is said. What could be the case? And I would argue that it seems pretty clear to me that this Mass of Saint Prissa is for a virgin martyr. But you also have this Priscilla, who was married. So which one is it? How many times have we heard of a woman named Priscilla who names her daughter Prissa, right? Or just a shortened form of her own name. So if you have Aquila, a Jewish tent maker, who's married to a member of the Roman nobility, Priscilla, they have a little daughter, name her after her mother. They grow up there in Rome. Aquila has to leave because he's a Jew by persecution of the Emperor Claudius. There they meet St. Paul in Ephesus. Aquila is converted. They come back to Rome. They open up their house, the noble house, to be used as a church. Prissa, the daughter, stays behind. Her mother and her father go back to Asia Minor, where they end up martyred there. Prissa, the virgin martyr, daughter of Priscilla, mentioned in Acts chapter 18, is martyred by Emperor Claudius. In the amphitheater in Rome. Thrown to the lions, doesn't eat her, thrown on a burning pyre, doesn't touch her, and then she's beheaded, and a church is built in her honor. And later on, the remains of her mother would come back and be placed in the church of Prissa or Priscilla. Now, that's not written down anywhere, but that is the kind of attitude we need to have when reading about these confusing accounts of the saints. We're just going to slap a label, oh, they were superstitious in the past. You know, that's what the enemies of the church say. Why are we going to say the same thing that those who hate the church are saying? And you see this, especially in the 1700s and 1800s, when the Enlightenment was growing, and at the same time, you know, you had some scientific advances, some scientific discoveries in research and comparison and so on, and contradictions were becoming more and more apparent. And the church, you know, already, you know, in a bad position, the French Revolution, the Freemasons, all these attacks on the church, then you started having churchmen and historians themselves feeling like they had to defend the church and like, well, we can't defend this, so I guess you're right, yeah, it was superstition, we're sorry, we were wrong. That's the wrong attitude. I don't buy it. So, these saints, these legends, they need to have, they need to be exonerated. Right? These aren't fables. These aren't stories. Our fathers in the past didn't make things up. Sure, yes, okay, you have some over-exuberance in the past. There are some times where you have contradictions, but what's our attitude? Are we going to magnify contradictions, or are we going to seek to reconcile it and have the attitude of piety and we'd say charity towards those men and women in the past who gave us what we have today? Right? Be charitable and don't come to rash conclusions. Okay, there are contradictions. Is that the case? I don't know, but I'm not willing to believe these, I would say, false accusations against our fathers. in the faith. So regardless of what the truth is, there was a virgin martyr, Prissa, who gave her life for Christ. There are many, many girls who have done that, many women who have done that, many men who have done that. Let us pray for their intercession and pray for God to bring, I would say, healing and faith back to his church, which has lost so much. Saint Prissa, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.